Okay, good morning again to each and every one of you. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. Isaiah is nowhere near Ephesians there. Why I said, I don't know, but it's Ephesians chapter 2 that I'd like to take and start with this morning. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. And you hath he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, and in which in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all had our manner of life in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And so if we left off right at that point, it would be kind of a sad message to think about of how our life has been perhaps in the past. But Paul doesn't leave it there. And you know some of the verses in between there, but we're going to skip down to verse 11. Wherefore, remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcised, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who once were far off are made near by the blood of Christ. That was one particular portion that was brought to my attention a couple of weeks ago in our morning worship time. And perhaps also, I think, Wendell, as he spoke last week, touched on it. But then Wendell also gave us these other verses in Ephesians. Go to chapter 3. And let's begin with verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. And so while it started out with maybe a poor message to some of us, there's tremendous things to think about in the book of Ephesians. We're going to come back. That's our text that we'll be reading from as far as thinking about or maybe having some thoughts on it. But for the moment, turn back in your Bibles to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Don Palmer gave us a message Thursday evening, and I'm just going to have some of the verses that he referred to, again, because it fits in with my thoughts that I've been thinking about for some time a little bit. Looking for some good examples, I thought that this was an excellent example of what we're going to be talking about, or what I'm going to try to be talking about this morning. Luke chapter 24, and beginning at verse 12. Then arose Peter, and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. And so the first thought is Peter himself, one of the disciples, been with Jesus, been involved, as he said, with him for a long time, and yet here he is, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass, thinking about all that had taken place. And so he pointed that out. But then he went out to take and point out about the other two people as they went back on the Emmaus Road, which many of us are familiar with, again, with this portion as well. Perhaps you've forgotten about Peter there. So I was glad that he included him as well into that. But verse 14, and they walked together, and they talked together. I'm sorry, they also walked, but they talked together of all those things which had happened. And so here, not only was Peter concerned about what had taken place, but so were these two, and they were talking about it. Okay, they were talking about those things which had taken place. Then verse 15, and it came to pass that while they communed together, and so we have not only talking, but as they communed together about that, and also reasoned, And so in the process of trying to figure all this out, they're talking, they commune together, they've reasoned out things, thought things out. Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Verse 17, and he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one with another as ye walk and are sad? Not only did he note that they were sad, but as they were walking, he realized communications. He mentions the word communications. What kind of things are going on? What are you thinking about? What are you reasoning about? What are you talking about? And so they said to him, one of them in verse 18, whose name was Cleopas, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? Certainly, he certainly did know, but he asked him that question. He asked him that question anyways. And he said unto them, what things? Playing dumb and trying to bring them out, draw them out. And he said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And so they tell him what they do know about what had taken place. They realized that this supposedly person, this Jesus of Nazareth, who they were exposed to, was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people. And so they knew that much. And so still there was things that they didn't know. Verse 21, but we had hoped that it had been he who should have redeemed Israel, and besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. And so in our topic of he talked about the sufferings of Christ. In those sufferings, he had mentioned that he had suffered how? Four different ways he had mentioned. So see how well we... How did Christ suffer that he had mentioned in his message? Emotionally, okay. Physically? Socially? Mentally? And so he pointed out that, and he was talking about the subject of suffering. The subject that I have is not just necessarily of suffering, but of thinking about things and trying to come to some conclusions. And so he takes, in a sense, kind of condemns them in verse 25 for what they had a lack of. Then he said unto them, O foolish ones, and so he considered them foolish ones and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Here he said he was a mighty, in verse 19, who was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people. And so they knew things. But for some reason they couldn't put those things together to come to realize who they were dealing with, what had taken place, why this thing had taken place. And so he says, foolish ones, first of all, and then second of all, slow of heart. Sometimes would that fit us as well, that sometimes we're foolish and doing different things or we're slow of heart. And so I leave you with that question as he takes, in a sense, it might sound like condemning them, but he's just pointing out to them so that they realize, if they don't realize certain things, he wants them to clearly see what he's about to say. He says, ought not Christ, in verse 26, to have suffered those things and to enter into his glory? And then he goes on, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all scripture the things concerning himself. The topic that we have that I'd like to consider is the idea of reading, but not only reading, of comprehending. If we remember in that portion of Ephesians there that Wendell gave, it talked about comprehending. We'll get back to that in a moment. But here, these people were talking on the way to the road, not necessarily, as I said, Don talked about the suffering. I'd like to look at it, the aspect of what they knew, what they didn't know, how they received something. And they received something by listening to the Lord Jesus Christ as he was there with them and opened up to them, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, and expounding to them all the scriptures concerning himself. And so a way of learning and understanding is looking at the scriptures, of reading it, of taking in understanding what they have to say, and that just doesn't come easily. And so let's take and go way back to Genesis chapter 6. There's probably many things that you could put in here. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Thinking about what we think about. The imagination part. People are pushing the idea that you should be imaginative, creative, do things along that line. Expand your brain there and put it into gear here. Like, so every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, and repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. The Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping things, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And so, again, we know this tremendous portion. But here, what did the people know? Well, down through the previous parts of the chapter there, they should have known some things about God. This was in the early stage, and yet they were miles and miles from him. The Lord even repented that they had made him, that he had made man, and he was going to destroy them all. But we find one that found grace in the eyes between all was Noah. Turn back for just a moment to chapter 2 and verse 5 and 6. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, before the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground, but there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And so this is the way that God decided to take and irrigate it. But then all of a sudden, as you know, that he was going to send rain. And how did he send it? Go back to chapter 6 and verse 17. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under the heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. And so I is the one that's going to take and bring this flood of waters. Chapter 7 and verse 11. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were open. And so here he's causing the rain. This is how he did it. He allowed the great deep to be broken up. He allowed the windows of heaven to be open, a vivid description of how that was occurring. Now, well, it's just going to rain. Well, it's really like he really let loose here, you know. And he's the one that's in control. Even as that verse said, I, it's not man that's controlling this, has no control over it whatsoever. It's I, the one that's going to do that. But even in the stopping of the rain, in chapter 8 and verse 1, it says, and God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters subsided. The fountains also of the deep, and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. I controlled it, start and finish. And so I thought those were very vivid pictures of not just, well, it rained and the rain stopped. There was flooding, but God's word gives a very excellent description of it was more than that. God was in control, and man was had lost it, and he was destroyed. And so here's a case of Noah learning about God and understanding and comprehending in a real way who God was right from the very beginning, early on. Another example, let's go back to Luke, again, chapter 24 that we were into before. But this time later on in the chapter. Luke 24:44. He's talking to the 11 that are left there, the disciples. He said unto them, these are the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. And so while we have something very early with Noah and trying to show him things, give him information, help him to learn, you can use, like I said, many things throughout there. We've jumped way over to the New Testament already here, and we find to the 11. He says, then, in verse 45, he opened their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. He opened their understanding to understand. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And so the idea to these people here was that their understanding was something that was important. Not only just reading. We emphasize about reading God's Word and the importance of doing that. And so you get a certificate for reading the Old Testament, New Testament, or anything in between. A few chapters, a few verses, or a few books. You don't get credit for that, but we encourage you to take and read it, even if you don't do the whole thing. But it's beyond just reading. He wants us to understand. So with the help of here, with himself, he says he opened their understanding so that they could understand the Scriptures. And he did that with the 11. He did that with the two on the road to Emmaus. He did that with Noah. He did that to many of the other prophets in the Old Testament and so forth. Sometimes he opened things, but he didn't give them understanding. He gave them things like Daniel, the things, but he didn't give them the full picture of there. And so Daniel had questions as to what was really going to happen, but he says it's not for you to know. You just get this much, you know. And so, again, he's in control of what we gain. Paul, remember the Apostle Paul, he had to learn some things, too. He was a learned person, but what was he doing? He had come to the wrong conclusions, and he was persecuting the Christians. And as a result of that, God had to reteach him in a very real way, starting with the road on Damascus, who he was dealing with and what he was doing. And so as a learned person, it's still you can come to the wrong conclusions. And there's many people out there in the world today and other, and even in the past, who are learned people. They have read, they have understood, or they thought they understood things, but they've come to the wrong conclusions about spiritual things and are lost. And so to take and try to help Paul right in the beginning, because he didn't comprehend the work correctly, God had to deal with him on a personal level very strongly. As a result of that, we have Paul giving you much of the New Testament in writings that are excellent. And so God is concerned for us to help us to understand things for us as well by giving us the Scriptures. We have the Old Testament, we have the New Testament. And so he wants us to understand. He's given us many things along that line. Paul also wrote the things of the book of Romans, and we have our memory verses, many of them from the book of Romans. Turn to Romans chapter 7, if you would. That's our section of memory verse for this month here. And by the way, again, as I said, 8:1 is the next one for next month. We're still in the book of Romans, but the ones for July started with 7:22. Maybe you have your little blue cards there with you, but you can look at your scripture, because sometimes it's on this page or that page. It might help you to look back at things as a way of reference. Verse 22, just for that one for right now. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. I'm not going to ask you to take and answer this, and I'm not going to ask you later to answer this. I just want to know, by a show of hands, how many understand what that verse means? If I would ask you to explain what that verse means, would be able to do so. Raise your hand. Okay, so again, here's a chance. We've read the verses, all right? We've memorized the verses, perhaps. But again, how do we understand about them? Well, that's the difficult part. And if you would have asked me the same question probably a week ago, I probably wouldn't have. I saw this verse before right off the start, and I had questioned it, but what does it mean? You know, I could think about the law of God, but after the inward man, you know, what does it mean? And so, again, this is just one example of Scripture, that there's many Scriptures that we could have as we read them. Do we comprehend what they mean? Probably not in many cases. And sometimes that's why, again, God needs to take and open up the Scriptures. What does outward man mean? If that was said, for I delight in the law of God after the outward man, well, maybe that would give us a little bit better clue of what that might mean. We kind of know what an outward person, things are done on the outward, but the inward man, Well, again, if you think about the fact that as a Christian we become a new creature, a new creation, and so there's an inner person within us that the world doesn't have, but there's a new person inside of us, and that person has a delight in God's law. It's not the outward person, it's not the fleshly person that has a desire to think about the law of God. God's law is up there perfect, but none of us can keep that. And so do we have one law? Do we have two laws? Do we have three laws, four laws here? Well, we have the three laws, the law of God, the law of the mind, and the law of what? What was the other one? Law of God, law of the mind, law of sin, okay. And so those three laws, and so here's God's law, it's perfect, and yet the law of our sin in our life, we can't keep that. And no matter how much we try, we can't keep that. That's what Paul is trying to say. We can't keep that. It's only by having this new birth in us and having the law of my mind transformed. And he says, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" How do I get rid of this thing? It's like a burden on me, this fleshly stuff. And so there's this battle going on. And so as you meditate, and that's why I said not only read it, but even if you don't memorize it, meditate upon these verses and think upon not only this, but God's Word. To try to understand what God has for you and try to figure it out on your own. Again, sometimes, I wish somebody would explain some things, not just necessarily with things of Scripture, but outside in other areas of interest. You know, if I only had somebody to explain these things to you, well, sometimes you need to take an initiative on your own. And so again, that's why I would encourage you to study on your own. We're glad that you come here and we try to take and provide some things as much as we can, but you really need to take and study on your own and think about things on your own and ask God to help you understand these things. So that's another example of taking and comprehending what's in God's Word. I need a couple guys to help me here. Let's see, who should I pick on? Let's take Joe for one here. Joe Goodyear, come on up there. And Daryl, come on, Daryl. Come on up front there. Grab that blue thing there and go down that aisle with it and open it up. Get it opened up down there if you would. Yeah, you can put on the aisle there and just open it up there and do the best you can with it there, if you would. Is it fully open? Is there another section? That's it. Okay. That's it, huh? So if we looked at it over there, and consider that to be a wall. It's a wall on the side, all right? There's that wall on that side. It starts maybe from that thermometer back there, not thermometer, thermostat, up to here. Let's say that's another wall. So it's a wall on the side. There's a wall on this side. There's a wall in the back. All right, come on up to the front here if you would. Okay. Come on up on the platform up here if you can. Just be careful here. Yeah, right over here. It's good. On that side and on this side over there. Okay, now hold it up high there. Okay, now there's a wall between you and me, all right? The only thing is, I don't know about you, but I can see some of the people through here a little bit. And so if you're waving to me, I can sort of see that. You might not be able to see, but there's a wall that's between you and me. All right, thanks, guys. Just put it over on the side there. Turn back to the book of Ephesians again. Ephesians chapter 2. This portion of Scripture was read a couple of weeks ago from Ephesians chapter 2, and we read it again this morning here briefly. I was just trying to think again and comprehend what it had to say. Verse 11 of chapter 2. "Wherefore, remember that ye, being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision is in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who are once afar off are made near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. And so, you might think of this, as I thought about this when I was read, this middle wall of partition. First of all, this wall. Again, it's kind of interesting that here we had the Berlin Wall, and it was taken down some years ago. But yet over there in Israel and the Palestine area, what are they doing? Building another wall again here to separate people and divide them off from that. And so you can follow that along a little bit if you're following that. But there's another wall that's given. And as I said, there's a side wall here. There's a side wall there. There's a back wall. But I had this wall over here between you and me. As it refers to this here, it says, hath broken down the middle wall. And so between the one that was up here, it was a middle wall. It's between you and me. It becomes a middle wall between you and me. And if it was really a good wall, neither one of us could see what was on happening on the other side. And so as you think about this wall, at first I was thinking about the fact of, well, Christ broke down the wall because he's the mediator between God and men. That there's that verse in Timothy, you know, that there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Is that what he's talking about here? Well, not really. He's talking about the nation of Israel versus us as Gentiles. And so again, as you try to think about, and this is what I'm trying to illustrate, as you read it, you read it, and you heard it, what does it mean? The understanding of it, the comprehension of it, it means, no, it's not between God and us, the Lord Jesus Christ in the middle. It's between two nations, the Gentiles versus the children of Israel. And that's what helpful, as you, many times as you read verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who once were far off are made near by the blood of Christ. Does it mean that our salvation is sort of near or sort of far away? Well, no, it's not referring to salvation. It's referring to the fact of the Jewish people were close to him. That's what the Lord Jesus, he chose them as a special people. And so they were close, but we were far away as a nation. But now he's taken and broken down the middle wall partition between us so that we're all together. And yet, as I said, you have that wall going in between Israel and Palestine being built up and trying to separate it. And so they don't know some of the scriptures that are there that God says that wall has been broken down between the nation of Israel and the Gentile people. Those that were far off, like us, are able to draw nigh to them and be part of them and be special to God just as the Jewish people were special to him. And so no longer is there that division. No longer is that wall there. It's broken. The wall that was between the Jewish nations and us is broken, even though they don't think so, perhaps. It's been broken. He's made the way for salvation for everybody. He's chosen all of us to take and be part of his family, but not everybody is willing to accept him. And so as you think about some things like that, you're able to take and comprehend what some of God's word has to say. Having abolished in verse 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of the commandments contained in the ordinances, to make in himself of two one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And came and preached peace to you who were far off and to them that were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. And so the portion of Scripture goes on to clarify this relationship that both the Jewish people have and the Gentile people can have, and it's through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so again, thinking about that middle wall partition, that it's not a wall like, in say, for instance, this wall only goes from the floor level up to there. So if the wall, you know, theoretically was only that high, we'd get a ladder to go over the top of it. But that wall of division that was there, you couldn't get up over the top. You couldn't go underneath it. You couldn't get around the sides of it. It was there solid, and it had to be completely destroyed. And so it's not just a wall that has some ending to it, but it does have an ending as he's completed his work. So we can be thankful that in verse 12, that at times, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, And so as a result of what God has done, by our acceptance of that work, it's a but now, we have a tremendous hope to look forward to. So again, may you understand what God's word has to say. And so as you go back over to chapter 3 there, let's just read that again, that Christ may dwell in your hearts, in verse 17, 3:17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. Comprehend. Not only be able to read it, but to understand what this whole work means, what Christ is trying to do. And as we realize that, it says, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. So beyond just learning about something and having knowledge, is this passing of the knowledge. It's the love of Christ, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. And so this is the future that we can have. This is the things that he wants us to comprehend. And he gives us his word to take and do that. Last Sunday morning, we had our, before I give that other example, let's turn to the book of Acts for a familiar example there that I thought about. Acts chapter 8. Let's read it, Acts chapter 8, verse 28. Was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah, the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran there to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, he heard him reading it, understandest thou what thou readest? Well, that's kind of a mouthful. Do you understand what you're reading? But that's the old English there, kind of like, understands what thou readest? And he said, in response to that question, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he besought Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. So here in this case, he was reading it. He was trying to understand it. There might be times, as I said, when we need some help from somebody else to understand. He says, how can I, except someone should guide me? And so as we try to have Sunday school, as we try to have other meetings, as we try to have Bible studies, as you have people on the television and radio to try to help others understand, God provides other means of understanding, but he also provides the Holy Spirit to help us understand on our own as well, too, and encourages us to do our own studying and do our own thinking. But we're glad that Philip opened his mouth in verse 45 and began the same scriptures and preached unto him Jesus. Philip was used to help the other person understand what he was reading. Last week we had Wendell DeVries here, and he spoke on the book of Isaiah. So some of those thoughts about the practical part of our walk, even as you had the two in the road to Emmaus, he presented. He talked about the past walk, the present walk, the prepared walk, the practical walk, the peculiar walk, and the pattern walk, among other thoughts that he had given last week. So as a result of doing that, why did he do that? Well, it was to take and help us with our walk, to give us something that we could take and perhaps think about and remember, to help us understand what's in the book of Ephesians. And so as again, as you had Philip trying to guide this person here, and so he tried to present the word to take and be a guide in our own walk in the practical sense. And so from Scripture, again, we can get much help as we think about different things. A few other things I just thought about in closing here as we get towards the end here about other ways that would illustrate some of this is some at different times Michelle and I have talked about some of the things that she does for school. She's a teacher for special ed for kids that need help with reading. And as a result of not only learning and dealing with the different students with regards to reading, some of them have difficulty to read and have trouble reading, And so she tries to take and deal with that. But the biggest problem that she has, even after these people can do some reading, is the comprehension. And because they don't have the facility sometimes to take and have difficulty doing different things, comprehension is really difficult for them. And she says, and sometimes she wishes she had more time to spend with the children to help them learn the comprehension part or try to deal with it. Comprehension is a very important part, and you can be thankful for your ability to take and not only read the scriptures but understand what the scriptures say. If you have that ability, thank God for that ability that you have to do that. I may have said this before, but at one point I had taken a speed reading course from work there, trying to learn how to take and read faster, because in some ways with all the different things that you read, you just like to be able to read maybe faster. But I find that even after taking it, well, I can do it, but I still need to read slow because of the material is more on a difficult level, and you need to take and think about it and digest it, so you just can't read it real fast, and then you just don't get nothing out of it that way. But the idea is not only to take and read faster, but to take and comprehend what you're reading. And so they have different ways of trying to do that and test you where you're at. And one of the things they have you do is they're having you try to set to this kind of a clock, like, and you read at a certain speed that's a set thing. And then you see if you can take and do that. And usually you can. So then they take it real high. They make you read real fast, kind of like. And it's a book that you don't even care about. It's about some book about some dog on some travel vacation or something like that. And so it's not a topic that you maybe even have an interest in. So they do that on purpose. So they, force you just to take and see what you can do. So you read super fast, you know. And so they say, what did you get out of it? Well, nothing. That's too fast. I didn't get anything out of it. Well, that's okay. It's a good exercise. Good exercise. Well, it helps your eyes are muscles. So it helps your eyes to take and train your muscles and work your exercise, your eyes. And so now you can go back and you can actually read faster than you did before at the previous thing, because you exercise your eyes to work harder. But the whole thing, it's a lot of work, you know. For you, somebody to read faster, unless they have certain abilities, it's a lot of work. You could do that. You could read faster, and you could actually comprehend more. Why do you comprehend more? Because you're concentrating so hard on what you're doing that you're not wandering around as we do money. You start reading something, and you think about this, and you start reading and think about that. You know, our focus of attention drifts terribly, and that's what really makes it hard for us to concentrate, to take and comprehend things a lot of times. So it does work. But it's a lot of work. So I thought about that idea. Thought about, because of just seeing this again, being reminded this past week, maybe some of you saw it as well too, about the moonwalk. It was 35 years ago. Didn't realize it though. I remember looking at that and just being enthralled with that. How many people in the world were looking at that event? And they pointed all over the world, people were just looking at that. And I thought about seeing that event and comprehending what was taking place and being able to see some aspect of God that the world hadn't seen before. Here the one astronaut was reflecting back from his space command there, his module. They're looking out at Earth and seeing Earth just there. They had a picture of just Earth, the globe of Earth, with all the blackness around. And he's reflecting, more or less said, well, there it is, sort of like just floating as on nothing. And so I thought about the fact of like soap bubbles. You know, sometimes as you blow those bubbles, they're just sort of floating around, but it's very fragile. You just hit one and they go. But the soap bubble just floats around, and it reminded me of that particular scene. And here God allowed our generation to take and see a little bit more of himself and be able to comprehend a little bit more of himself by taking a look, backing up, and looking at the earth through the eyes like that. It had to be just as impressive then as it was as it is now to me, for those people to see that. But the moonwalk, God allowing man to go that far and revealing himself in just that way of that kind of situation. Some of you probably heard this past week about the commission report for 9/11 and the fact that they've released that. One thing they keep wanting to say about it is, we want you to take and understand what we've done with it, kind of like. And we have recommendations to make, and we want you to act quickly. And so we not only just want you to take and look at the report that we've come up with, but the idea is to understand what we've said, to comprehend it, and then not only to comprehend it, but just don't let it sit there for months and months and months. We want you to act quickly on it right now. I think I got just one little thing here that I just happened to buy the thing here the other day because I was at some other place there. But in the beginning there it says, we hope our report will encourage our fellow citizens to study, to reflect, and to act. That's from the chair and the vice chair of the commission there. We hope our report will encourage people to study, to reflect, and to act. So again, not only just to read it, but to study it, to meditate on that, and to take and act on what you take and read. And so here we have the Word of God, even more important than that, than the 9/11 Commission report. And do people take the time to study, to take and even act on it? Turn to 2 Peter chapter 2, to the last portion of Scripture here. Second Peter chapter 2. There was a film that I happened to see, Mr. Destiny, about the ideas sometimes of his destiny gets changed. And he says, well, if I knew now what I knew then, I would have done things differently. How did you ever think about some thoughts like that? Well, again, we're trying to take help you to avoid some thoughts like that. Life would be better if I just did this. And it has the idea with making choices. Nothing in my wildest dreams would have prepared me for what has happened, is going to happen. And so there could be some regrets in our life because of things in the past that we haven't read or thought about. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell. Verse 5. And spared not the old world, but saved Noah. Verse 6. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into the ashes, condemned them with an overthrow. Verse 9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. If God didn't spare the angels, if God didn't spare the world, he says, here we find out the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness. He didn't spare the world that at that point. We know the story about the Sodom and Gomorrah. If he didn't spare that, what makes you think that he's going to spare those who don't accept the Lord Jesus Christ even now that live in this day and age? He knows how to take and deliver the godly out of temptation, and he also knows how to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. He will punish people, even again as they need to be. It might sound very cruel, but that's why you need to take and know the love of God that we talked about this morning is the love that God had for each and every one of us on the cross is a very important thing to consider. He wants you to read his word. He wants you to understand his word. He wants you to study his word. It's all work. There's no easy shortcut way to do some of that stuff. You need to take and spend the time. And I encourage you to take and do that this week. Let's just close in prayer again this morning.